Welcome to Regulating AI Podcast, hosted by Sanjay Puri. Join us each episode as we dive into the evolving world of AI governance with global leaders, exploring how to responsibly tackle AI's challenges while fostering innovation and balance. Welcome to the Regulating AI Podcast. We are thrilled to be here in Madrid and to be with former Prime Minister, Mr. Mehdi Juma of Tunisia. He played a critical role in Tunisia's transition, a leading engineer who also has tremendous background in governance and will give us some tremendous insights into this transformative technology, which is artificial intelligence, and the role it plays in countries like Tunisia, in the Arab world, in the global south. So that's why I'm so thrilled to be here with him. Welcome to the Regulating AI Podcast, Prime Minister.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation, and I'm glad to be with you and to participate on this podcast on regulation, AI regulation. And more than AI regulation, I think it's the future, our future with this new technology and all the potential, tremendous potential, tremendous opportunities creating, but as well the tremendous challenges that we have to face to be in the successful trend.
Oh, absolutely. Prime Minister, artificial intelligence, as you just mentioned, has tremendous potential. Potential in healthcare, potential in education, and many, many other areas. You played a critical role during the transition of Tunisia, and Tunisia is considered a big technology hub in that region. One of the concerns that people have is, Ms. Juma, that artificial intelligence is a Western-dominated, Silicon Valley-dominated. We need to make sure that there is data democracy. We need to make sure that there is language democracy, Arabic language or other smaller languages to make sure. What is your suggestion in terms of how can we make sure that all countries get to participate in this transformative revolution that is happening, because you were part of that whole transition. So from those experiences to this major transition, what are your thoughts, Prime Minister?
In your question, there is many questions.
Yes,
so
of course.
We'll try to go step by step. Now, first, thank you to speak about Tunisia as an important place for technology. You know, the choice of Tunisia since decades, since our independence, is to invest firstly and strongly in the education. Mm-hmm. And we get generations today which are well-trained with good education, but with an open mind and oriented on technology. We have good engineers, and these engineers are working everywhere in the world. So we have the ingredients to face these challenges. So that's the first thing. And I think that Tunisia could be like a local hub, mm-hmm. or as well a bridge between the region and what is happening in this in the world. You are mentioning what is happening in the United States, mm-hmm. particularly. Don't forget that Tunisia as well is in Africa. Mm-hmm. This biggest potential for the future. So there is the MENA region, but there is Africa, and we are on the crossroads, strategic crossroads of Africa, MENA region, but as well Europe. Tunisia, you have in 1 hour or 2 hours of flying, you can reach the main capitals in Europe. So I think first we have to prepare more our people, our young people, through education. Mm-hmm. The first thing is, before speaking about infrastructure, because speaking all what is happening, if you want to be a part of the game, you have to train yourself, mm-hmm. to the game, even though you are not expected to be the first player, because that's the size, that's the history, that's everything. But I think there is many niches, mm-hmm. when we can position Tunisia to be in the trend, but as well to be enough influent and to be able to integrate or to consider the specificities that you are speaking about our language, our religion, our culture. Don't forget that we have a deep historical culture. When we speak about Tunisia, the first reference that is shared everywhere in the world is Carthage.
Yeah.
So we are speaking about a country who has not decades, but centuries, centuries of history. So for my sense, we should have a vision, a clear vision. The first thing is to invest in education and to focus. We know that the future will be driven by technology. And even in the political activity, I'm arguing that we have, as a leader, political leader, we have really to get a minimum of culture of the technology, because it's a driver today. We don't need a lot of poesy. We need a part of technology in our leadership. So when I speak about education, we have to invest in science, computer, data management, mathematics, all the sciences that we have. Because when you speak about artificial intelligence, it's mathematics, it's algorithms, it's before. And then in the infrastructure as well. The infrastructure, high-speed internet, data centers, data science, blockchain, all these technologies which are linked to that. So that's the first step. And I think that in Tunisia we made, we are on the path of that, but we have to accelerate since rhythm is changing. I told you when I have been in Washington before, starting the political visit, I started by visiting, meeting Mr. Eric Smith with Google, and I told him, I asked him not to receive me in a meeting room, but in the kitchen. And the discussion was to say that we have an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us, and we have an opportunity in Tunisia, and we can be a bridge in that. So the weight really is in the United States, is in India, is in China, but always we can find the niche, and it's up to us, if we understand how this world is running, to find the right way, and Tunisia and the North Africa would play a crucial role in this transformation, because it could be at it's like a melting point between this these three different, or these three area of culture or area of interest.
No, you made some very, very important points, Prime Minister. Prime Minister, for we, our viewers are global in nature. In the US, Europe, Asia, and other parts of the world. Just very briefly, if you can tell them, why is Tunisia, you and I talked about, why is Tunisia important in the big scheme of things with its location, but also the transformation where you are so important? You talked about how, you know, the STEM, the mathematics and everything, but just tell our viewers in the US, Europe, and others, why is Tunisia important in the big scheme of things?
I think before speaking about technology, I will speak about the position of Tunisia today.
Yes.
Tunisia is a part of Africa. Tunisia is a part of the MENA region. Tunisia is 1 hour flying from Europe. And all these capital, Paris, Vienna, London, are within 3 hours, you can reach the main capitals in Europe. And that's our history. The history is linked to all this area. But we know that if we take Africa, for example, Africa is the biggest potential of growth in the next decades. You know that when children born today for two is in Africa. And we know that this continent is starting moving, and the biggest growth, economic growth, will be is forecasted, or as well, is expected to be there. Tunisia is in the north of Africa and the south of Europe, and we know that there will be a big exchange, and big flows will be created between technological flow, financial flow, human flow, people flow, economic goods, transfer, many things, logistics, I mean supply chain, many things. Tunisia is on the corridor. And the second thing is Tunisia has the culture of these three different areas. I mean, Europe, Africa, but as well, MENA. So I think it's a real corridor, a real bridge. And in terms of education, we are well prepared, have generation of well-educated people. I'm sure that you are crossing many Tunisian, United States, and everywhere in the world. And we have good competences, good schools, good universities. And as well, we were and we still be known to be eager of mathematics. And the SOC or support of all these new technologies are mathematics and mathematics logic. So for all this reason, and we know that there is a bigger reconfiguration of the world today. And the world is moving, and everyone on political, geopolitical, technological, and all this, Tunisia should prepare itself to be a player and as you know, an accelerator to enable a fair exchange, to enable as well our region not to be excluded from this trend. And we hope that we will be ready to face the challenges, but to take the advantage of the opportunity. And I still believing that North Africa, and particularly Tunisia, has a big, big opportunity in this big change and reconfiguration of the world.
So its location and its opportunity in North Africa, as well as the closeness to Europe. Now, Prime Minister, as AI is, you know, coming about, obviously you in the beginning said there's just tremendous opportunity, but there are some challenges also with AI. How can we make sure, whether it is in Tunisia or in Africa, that there are some guardrails or regulatory, you know, frameworks that are put in there, but frameworks that don't stop innovation from happening? What are your thoughts on doing that? You were obviously a leader during transition. How does one keep proper governance frameworks, but also not stop innovation?
Yeah, I think it's a good question because, you know, regulation could be the enemy of innovation. But innovation without regulation could present some challenges and critical challenges.
Right.
I think in the case of AI, like any other activity, it's scientific, but it's economic and has a big, big impact on the social, on the life of the people, on the daily life of the people. So we have to regulate. We have to pay attention to that. I think in the specific case of artificial intelligence, we should be in a dynamic regulation. So one of the questions today, even at this organization like OECD or United Nations, we are making an approach of regulation for decennies. I think that it's a mistake because we are expecting some things. We don't know what will happen with artificial intelligence and which are the problems that will arise. I think we have to regulate. We have to take into account really the ethic aspect. Otherwise, we can create demands, and that's not the aim of that. We have to pay attention that we enable and we give the good atmosphere for innovation, but we have to regulate and to take into account one thing important. We have to update each time with the problems, with the issues that we will discover. The problem here is the regulation. It's not on the table, and all the stakeholders can give their voices. That's why Your question is really critical, mainly for people or for our region, for people, because we don't have the strongest voice on that. We know that the gravity center of AI and the power is in some countries like United States, and it's only state that's these big companies as well who are investing in the research, who are developing. So I think that we have to first to be present in these instances like OECD or this global initiative or UN initiative to join our voices, to join our voice to the other voices, and to try to moderate and to contribute to the regulation, which is very important, because we have, they have to take into account our specificities, our culture, our structure of society, our history, a lot of things that we have to defend. It's not, you know, we know today that this one standard life or one standard society cannot work, and we have to introduce that. But as well, we have to see in our region how to create alliances to make our voice stronger or louder, I mean, and to bring our approach, which could be a little bit different, and to avoid as well this monopoly of these big companies or of one or two countries. And I think today it's an interest of everyone in the world to have a balanced thing, taking into account and making an inclusive system. One of the things that we have to think about, this AI, like the digital area, and the could be a good opportunity to be inclusive for everyone. And even inside all the countries, inside any country, it's important to be sure that we are in an inclusive approach. For example, in our country, some area which are not connected by roads, it's an opportunity to connect them. If we don't do, it's a bigger exclusion. In the world, we have to make everything now and to think about inclusivity. Anything which is not inclusive, we know that it's in danger. It's maybe hidden, hidden threat, but it's a real threat. So, interesting to get interest on that, to invest on that, to invest in the education, in the infrastructure, to see the alliances, and to be a partner in these big platforms or big discussion table, to contribute to that and to make your voice reaching and hidden. But I hope that all the players are aware today that we have to include everyone to avoid the problems and to allow that this big transformation be an opportunity for a balanced and the progress for everyone.
So you made some very important points, Prime Minister. You said alliances are very important, you know, go beyond the UN, the OECD, but alliances and education become very, very relevant in this new world. Are there any conversations happening within Africa, North Africa, or the Arab world to say, hey, what can we do to make sure, as you said, there are some monopolistic tendencies, or our language, our culture is protected in terms of whether it's a regulatory framework or things of that nature? Because countries like Tunisia have history of so many hundreds and thousands of years to make sure that it stays the language, etc. Are any of those conversations happening, Prime Minister?
There is conversation, but in my sense, it's not enough. It's not enough to develop a common position and to increase the weight in the negotiations. And there is initiatives, for example, if you take Emirates, they are really focusing on AI. Yes. And the regulation. Yes. And they want to be a part of these authorities.
Yes.
Creating standards and regulation. I think it's good. There is many initiative. There is some discussion, but not yet a common action to get the weight of all the region and to put it on the table like eunuch and one weight. But I hope that we will realize that step by step. Many initiatives. I hope that we can gather our forces to be a eunuch voice.
Some people have proposed, Prime Minister, that every country should have their own large language model, you know, like ChatGPT, which is focused on their culture, their languages, their history, etc. Any thoughts on that? They call it sovereign AI. It means, you know, Tunisia will have its own ChatGPT, etc. Now, obviously, some countries cannot, don't have the resources, etc. But your thoughts on that?
You know, the hope is to have each people is proud of his culture, of his history, of his specificity, and we know that we have to manage that and to respect that, and trying to push for one to one culture, and it's not successful. It could be successful for a short time, but it's not successful. And in countries like Tunisia or all countries around us are rich of history, of civilization. They're proud of that, but it's not the proudness to create war. It's proudness to be sure of his identity. And I think that we should take into account the specificity, but we should have the weight to do that. You cannot be a competitor of ChatGPT today, but you can, if you are in the move, you can use that and adapt. Yeah. At least you have to adapt your own specificity. And if you are enough active, you can amplify your voice to be heard everywhere in the world. And that's what we will try. You have to be pragmatic in that. It's a question of mean. It's a question of funding. It's a question of number of scientists. It's a question of size, of scale. But when you know your scale, you know conclusion, and you have a clear vision, you can amplify and really you can do things which protect your specificities. But as well, we don't look to put walls all around. We have to be open. And countries like Tunisia, with the size that we have, we are not 200 million people. Our opportunity is to be open, but to be sure of our identity, of our specificity, but really to be open, mind and open. That's the case of Tunisia. That's the key of success. And that's why we are comfortable with such tools which are an open platform, because that's our history, that's our way to be, and that's the opportunity for the country.
So be open, but be proud of your culture and history, and keep that. I think those are very, very good points. Finally, Prime Minister, Tunisia has a great, you know, under your leadership and the transformation in terms of digital, the young people, even women and others. Are there lessons for the rest of Africa that they can learn from this amazing transformation that has happened, whether it's in AI or technology and things of that nature?
I think that we have some experience to share. We don't have lessons to give, because even in many other countries in Africa today, they have many success story in Rwanda, but even in Morocco, in many other countries. I think the most important thing is to share our experience. It's a kind of return of experience that we have to share. But with the experience of Tunisia, what we can say today, the main thing in which we have to invest, which is in all the case and whatever the progress or the evolution of the world is, you have a good return on investment, is education. And the main resources you have, more than the wealth coming from the ground, is the human resources. So I do believe in that. Whatever the future of the world is, if we want to be in the game, if we want to be updated, if we want to progress, is to prepare the new generation with education, with training, with the soft skills, with the science, with all of this, to be open-minded and to invest in the human resource. That's the best way that we have, and that's the guarantee of any growth and any development.
Well, those are fantastic points. Education, human resources, training, that's really what is the success story of Tunisia that can be shared. Prime Minister, thank you so much for taking the time for our listeners, our viewers around the world, your tremendous experience, not just from an engineering standpoint, but from the transformation and governance. I think it's a great lesson that why Tunisia, why Africa should be given attention from our listeners who are listening, policymakers in the US, Europe, and other parts of the world, why it's very, very critical for having it. So thank you so much, and thank you to our listeners for listening to our great guest, Prime Minister Mehdi Joma.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for tuning in to the Regulating AI podcast. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on the show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you'll never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.